Welcome, and now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 7:05, November the 19th, and we're rocking here. We're also a little damp here, but we'll talk about that in a second. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and the chat room is up and running.
It's actually working.
It's working now. How do you like that, Bad Bob?
Excellent. Happy Friday.
How are you feeling today, Bad Bob?
Enjoying the weather and got new tires, so all is well.
Mm-hmm. New tires?
Yep.
New tires on what?
Well, on the Jeep, of course.
That yellow, if anybody sees this bright yellow Jeep driving around town with all these antennas sticking out of it, you have seen Bad Bob.
Hey, there's a couple other yellow Jeeps. Every time I look at one, I would see if they've got a...
antenna stuck everywhere.
I love Dutch Brothers on the back.
And something like that. And speaking of loving, here she is.
Oh, well, good morning. Hey, it feels good to be back. I love this weather. We're going to be in for a really wonderful weekend. We have tons of things that we're going to be talking about today, events that we're going to be attending, tickets we're going to be giving away. But 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. U.S. President Abraham Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address on this day in 1863. The speech was considered so insignificant at the time.
Good job, Bob.
The coverage was limited to the inside pages of the newspapers. Page one covered went to a speech by Edward Everett. In July of 1863, the fields outside Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, erupted into one of the bloodiest battles in the Civil War between the states. The Union forces held their positions against Confederate advances. The Confederates under Robert E. Lee retreated to Virginia, ending their attempt to invade the North. The battle was the turning point of the war. The Confederates were never again able to mount a campaign in the North and were on the run. That's what happened this day in history in the year of 1863. Also, wanted to tell you that in 1895, Frederick Blaisdell of Philadelphia patented what he called the paper pencil. Stan Kenton and his orchestra recorded Artistry and Rhythm. That was in 1943. In 1959, the latest Edsel rolled off the assembly line. And in 1962, get this, in 1962, for the first time, a jazz concert was presented at the White House. Jazz had previously been background music only. So that's what happened this day in history. By the way, if you are a lover of jazz, come join us tonight. This will be the last part of my trio in the music series out at Anselmo Vineyards. We're going to talk about the weather here. It's currently 50 degrees, but it's supposed to be high today at 52. I'm not sure if it's just going to have a two degree temperature rise today, but a chance of 70% chance of showers. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, where we will be tonight singing jazz and enjoying the lovely ambiance and the foods prepared by Chef John Stadelli. 474-5546. There may be a few seats left. And welcome to the program this Friday. We are going right to the phones. Jay, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I heard you guys talking about Gettysburg, and it just so happens that I have the proud tradition in my family to come from a bunch of strong, hard-headed people who always seem to pick the wrong side in a war.
Okay.
So I actually had family members who fought in the Battle of Gettysburg, but they were wearing gray.
Well, it was...
Well, they were fighting for something.
Everybody was. I mean... They've demagogued this thing into making it about slavery, when the truth of the matter is, from the Southern point of view, it was about telling the Yankees to keep their hands to themselves.
Oh, well, you know, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes, too, Jay.
You know, it's great to see things have changed so much, isn't it?
Yeah, things haven't changed a bit, but that's one of the subjects we're going to talk about as soon as we get back from this break.
So they burn down the South, and they make everybody move west because they have nothing left, and anything that was left, the carpetbaggers got. And so then they further, you know, for the rest of history, they make it sound like they're a bunch of murderous slave owners, when the truth is the majority of Southerners didn't even own slaves, and they just wanted states' rights and for the federal government to leave them alone.
States' rights was the big kahuna on this. Slavery was a good thing
that came, but yeah, well, the destruction of slavery needed to go. But you know, it was already starting to happen anyway, because the Britons and the French were very opposed to it, and if the Southerners wanted to keep up their business, they're going to have to give it up anyway.
Well, that's true, but they weren't going to give it up that quick. And when Lincoln was elected, and they started, and when it went down to this, is certain parts that where the federal government is going to take priority over, and that's what started. It was states' rights, and slavery was part of it, as was just free trade and everything else. So, but how many years ago now? But this was the day the Gettysburg Address was given.
Friday, November 19th, in 1863. That's when he was gave the address on the field.
Well, we're glad you're
4 and 7 years.
We're glad you're on the right side now, Jay. KCNR. All right,
well,
thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
Have a wonderful holiday.
Hey, we've got to take a quick break here at Carl and the Bot Free Fire Radio. When we get back, we have a new phrase, a new saying for freedom. And we get back, you're going to hear it. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl in the Bot, 7:15. It's November the 19th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. You can chat with us at KCNR1460.com or streaming then also.
It's Friday, and there's so many things for us to discuss. But you just got something. Well, you got something in your craw.
Oh, well, you know, I saw something on TV the other night of a young family. Like, what started this was, I saw on Facebook this family, one of the people that writes on my wall, which I still don't understand what a wall is, or how
that's you personally,
or how these people know me, and how they get on my Facebook. I'm still not sure about all that.
Well, you have to press confirm.
I must do something like that. Anyway, they seem like nice people. Anyway, they're getting ready to travel, and they said they're a little bit upset about it because they're taking their children. And do they, when you go through TSA, do the people in TSA actually touch the children?
Yeah, I heard.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, me say. I saw saw something on a news program the other day. It was like a little 3-year-old girl. They tried to wander, and she's just screaming. She doesn't understand it. She's scared, and now this woman is touching her, the TSA agent. I'm not saying the TSA agent was an ogre. She was kind of big. But she's touching this little girl. Mommy, mommy. You know, and I mean, you talk about heart-rending.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. So then, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that is, you know, what happened to our personal freedoms? Well, then Charles Krauthammer writes an article, you know, his opinion piece. And I tell you what, the thing about it is, and now in TSA, we've gotten to the point where it's not just enough to go through the metal detector. It's not enough for all your stuff to go through. It's not enough to get half naked and walk through this thing. Now, they want to put you in front of an x-ray machine that looks all the way through your clothes, and you stand up. And by the way, have you ever noticed that when they're showing the photos of, you know, of the video clips of the people that are doing this, it's always some girl that's like 24 years old, and she's got her arms up in the air, and they're doing this x-ray of her. And then, if you choose not to do that, then they're going to put their hands on your body. If it was anywhere else, it'd be sexual assault. But because they're doing it there, that's okay. So now, what Krauthammer said, and I wish I had thought of it first, is the old phrase, the phrase that we fought under hundreds of years ago was, don't tread on me. Now, it's don't touch my junk. This guy's getting searched by TSA, and now it's getting into the halls of Congress. What are we doing? You know what? Why are we searching an 85-year-old grandmother who's in a walker? Why are we doing that? Does she look like a terrorist? You know why we're doing it? Because we can't say that we're looking at people. We've got to look at everybody. 3-year-old children carried by their parents. Well, you're checking that diaper bag there. Oh, it's full. Oh, but that's not explosives. It's just been a long day. You know, for that.
Well, let's get down to it.
Well, no, what?
Let's get down. I'm not trying to interrupt you. But seriously, let's get down to the fact that if somebody wanted a bomb, they could stick a bomb in grandmother's walker and the baby diaper bombers.
How many times
a terrorist will do whatever
how
it takes.
How many times has that happened?
Whatever.
How many times
it doesn't
has
mean
that happened?
It won't.
It doesn't mean it hasn't. But
it doesn't mean it won't.
It hasn't happened. And instead, we are taking the American people and everybody else that travels in this country, and we're putting them under what I believe unreasonable searches. If that's the case, somebody just needs to give me or give the American people, hey, here's some percentages. Here's some percentages of this and how many times we have kept people off planes with these dangerous objects like explosives and everything else. My problem with it is this, is what says that they can come up and they can touch you, they can do all of these things to you?
Well,
is that in the rules?
Maybe we should find out exactly what the rules are. I'm sure it's a knee-jerk reaction, and just like anything else, when something first comes out into effect, it's overkill, and then they loosen up. It's the same thing with all the bottles, all the things that were thrown away in the beginning.
What happened? Well,
like remember all the liquid.
You still can't carry it.
But they come down to an agreement that you can do 3 ounces or within a bag.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm not even talking about that. These are just small increments of everything that we do. Here's another increment. Okay, now we're taking X-rays. So your nude body is in a database. Did you know that? Oh, it's supposed to be erased. Well, they found out that, there was a mistake and they weren't being erased. So now we're going to erase all these. Are you confident that anything that you're doing there, that you're not going to be in a database someplace? And what gives them, what gives them the right to get intrusive like that with their hands on your body?
Carl, when you try a bra on at Macy's, they have surveillance cameras. I know you think that's weird. I don't know if it's something that I just feel like, what do we have to do in order to keep our country safe? I know this could be overkill for kids to be touched and have them traumatized. I get that. They have to figure something out there, whether it's a wand. Don't touch the body, folks. Don't go inside the thigh. Don't do something that makes that child feel threatened. But the fact that we're being watched, and what it feels like when you're trying on a swimsuit, and you know that when you're in...
No, I don't think they can do that.
Yes, there are surveillance cameras.
I don't. I don't think they can do that. I don't think that they can put while you're undressing in a room, that they can put a camera on you. I don't believe that. I don't. Anyway, we got to take a break.
We'll find out.
We've got two people on the line. I'm sorry. Linda and I are arguing among ourselves here.
No, this is good.
You can Bruce and Amy, you can jump in right after the break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back, Linda Bott. 605-456-7724 in the morning. And, honey, I know. I have never been in a woman's dressing room at, like, Macy's or some of these others. So maybe there are cameras there. And so I will withdraw my objection to that because it could be true.
Let's find out. Later on we're going to have a private investigator.
Private investigator's going to be
on. I thought I heard that because there's so much shoplifting that does happen, that they have the two-way mirror. I don't know who's watching. I don't know if it's a woman. I've heard that. It could be old school.
Myth.
I don't know. Camera surveillance, who knows? Anyway,
let's go to Bruce.
Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
You know what? Don't interrupt our debate going here, Bruce. But
I like to know that answer because I didn't know that they had cameras.
Well, let's find out. I'm not sure. I always assumed. Go ahead.
You're going to be out there at the Mount Shasta Mall. You can ask tomorrow. You can ask the people in charge.
I will ask security.
Okay.
I think what you got to do, Carl, is you follow the money. I think that Chernoff guy, the OX director there, that put a whole bunch of money in all of those machines, just that. Why not follow what the Israels do? They haven't had a problem. In this profiling, they've got to have a whole different look at that. I went through Sacramento about 6 months ago, and I started to go through the deal. They made me take my hat off, my baseball cap off. Right behind me was a guy with a turban, about two guys back, and I watched. They never made him take his turban off. And I was going to say something, but you know where you are when you're around TSA. You can't say nothing, or all of a sudden you get treated real rude.
Well, one of the comments, and it's a good comment, is somehow TSA has got to understand the difference in, what was it, differences in probability and profiling. The probability of a 78 or 80-year-old lady with having a bomb is a lot less than, say, a Middle Eastern male with, you know, between the ages of 18 and 40, you know, something like that.
Well, until they change it. My kids, they work for Intel. They just, one of them just got back from Israel, and he said that they ask a lot of questions down there, even though, you know, that's just part of the profiling. They ask a lot of questions.
Well, before you get into the
as they should.
Yeah, before you get into the even into the airport there, you've gone through three checkpoints.
Yeah, and I don't know why we don't kind of look at it like here. They haven't had any. Anyhow, we let the other. I want to know about that dressing room, though.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll find
let
out
you know.
About that.
I, you know, I don't know if they're trained professionals. Anyway,
or they're
really,
just having a good time there.
Macy's. I heard that. That could be old school.
Well, and by the way, we don't mean Macy's. We're talking about any department store. That's what you were talking about. It doesn't mean. So please, Macy's, don't call us. Not at the airport. That's there.
Well, I will share a story with you, Bruce, and all of our listeners. Thanks for calling, Bruce.
All right.
Let's go to the next caller.
Well, I want to finish before we go to Amy.
All right.
In South America, in Cartagena, I traveled there, and I remember getting from the airport from one destination to the other destination. There, I believe there were 10 checks, and that was Miami. To get off the plane, go through luggage again. Then once you stand in line, then you have to have your luggage screened again. Then you have to, once you fly to Miami into the next location, which is Cartagena, and again, you get off, your luggage goes, before you even can get into on the street, luggage goes through more screening. So it's a long, long period to fly and have your luggage screened. So anyway, that happens, but at that time, you never know when you're going to be selected to be wanted. But it's just, I think what's happening is that we're seeing our kids. And when we hear about children, it starts to kind of weird us out because that's traumatic. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Amy, good morning. You are on KCNR Live.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, and you know, Linda, I've heard the same thing that you have. And so I know there was a way, maybe sometimes in the changing room, sometimes you could always test a mirror, and I forget how to do so, but... yeah, I mean, it could be urban legend, but as a woman, that's something that we kind of all kind of heard and are aware of in the changing room. So.
And we realize somebody might be looking, you know, when we're putting on swimsuits that, okay, you know, if I'm either going to buy it or I'm not going to buy it, and it could happen. You heard it, too. I'm not alone. Great.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, guys, you know, it's that time of year again. Everyone's sniffling.
Hey, Amy.
Coughing.
Amy,
yeah?
We're not going to have time for you to tell us. Can you hang on till after the break?
Oh, okay.
So you've heard that story, too, though, that they've got those. Okay. Okay, well, you know what? After the break, we're going to talk to Amy. She's going to give us our health and fitness tips over the week. But then we want to come back. We're going to talk about what's going on in California as this new era in redistricting, where that new redistricting committee is going to begin. We want to talk about the planning commission is why we can't take at least request bids to see how much money we could save or not save. We're going to talk about that, too. Carl and Linda Bob.
Hold on, Amy.
Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Hello, Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:35, November 19th, 605-4567, or you can chat with us at KCNR1460.com or streaming. Amy, good morning. Sorry to keep you on the phone for
most
of the morning.
That's okay. It's been a fun. It's been interesting listening to all this morning. I've been enjoying it.
We're an interesting group of people here.
Okay, so what is our fitness tip for the week?
Okay, well, you know, at that time of year again, everyone's doing the sniffling and the sneezing and the coughing. So I just want to remind people that the best health insurance you can do is to make sure you're eating to beat that illness. So make sure you get lots of colorful fruits and veggies to boost your immune system, okay? And omega-3 fatty acids from, like, fish or walnuts or even flaxseed is good for your immune system. And, you know, a lot of people want to stop moving or exercising when they're sick. And you don't want to do that because exercise can actually help trigger and stimulate some of your immune cells to help target those colds. Make sure you stay very well hydrated. Drink that water. And, of course, you know, one of the most basic things, guys, wash your hands. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Sing happy birthday while you wash your hands and make sure you get those germs off. And make sure you're getting enough sleep. Those are usually some of the best things that you can have for your own personal health insurance against this cold season.
All right, Amy. Thank you so much, and it's true. We need to be thinking about it. I had just a few calls yesterday of from girlfriends that said that, oh, my God, everybody around me sick. I hope I can get through the holidays. I've got to get through this weekend. So we are, if I'm hearing that from two, I'm sure that that multiplies to many others that are in enclosed spaces with people that aren't well. So thank you for your tips, and they're wonderful reminders, as always. Amy Palko from Adamson's Peak Performance. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, Ron, you're on KCNR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple comments, and one I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I'm not in suggesting that you were that way, Linda, but, you know, sometimes in the summertime, the ladies wear some things that are pretty suggestive.
Yes.
And it doesn't take much imagination to figure out what they got inside.
Yes.
And then another thing I'd like to say, if you guys are worried about being looked at through a two-way mirror, whatever they call those things, you know, some of the ladies used to carry those little bottles of hairspray. They're about the size of two double D batteries or C batteries, whatever they were. If I was you, I'd hose that mirror down with that, or I'd carry a little, one of those deodorant sticks. They're probably about 3 inches wide. I'd just wipe it all over the mirror, and that would distort the whole thing for them. So, anyhow, that's just my suggestion.
Oh, well, I love it. You know, thank you for your.
Okay.
At least it worked when Ron was on the other side of those mirrors, right, Ron? You know, it's cool. Ron's always got some good comments. You know, the thing about that is I realize that shoplifting is crime, and I bet at times there were those things that happened, but I just know is the first time somebody found out that their 16-year-old daughter was being filmed or having a video on them, that just didn't go very far. So I'm just almost positive. And you can go down and talk tomorrow, and I just think that that's a thing of the past. Unfortunately, not like TSA and that. Now, let's talk about some local stuff. Well, kind of local. We're going into redistricting it. The first eight members of a panel that's going to do the redistricting of California. Now they're going to pick another 10 out of this. It was a lottery. They got the first eight members on the commission. They're going to get, I believe, 10 more. And what these people are going to do is redistrict the state of California. If you take a look at the districting, some of them look like a snake that's drunk. And the way they did that is to make sure that incumbents would be always reelected. Dead, alive, good, bad, it made no difference. They're going to keep getting reelected. So we need to maybe redistrict. I think they're also going to do the congressional districts, too. What's that mean? It means that it could be even worse for the Republicans. Or it could mean is that there may be a more of a balance in the legislature. But trust me, there is going to be battles over this like you can't believe. You know, it used to be as the politicians would go back and do the redistricting. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going. It's like the fox saying, yeah, let me guard that hen house. But now, and people have spoken about this in the last election, a couple of propositions that take that power away from the people, but that did not work. Those were voted down. So, the lottery has started. They got the first eight, and we're going to be following this. It should be pretty interesting. Now, we're going to get back on time in our breaks. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and talk about what's going on here in Reading. We're going to talk about don't ask, don't tell policy, and what happened to all the promises that were being made about letting the services have a say in this. We're going to talk about the Park Commission. We're also going to talk about what Senator Jay Rockefeller said. Oh, I have a bug inside me that says take Fox and MSNBC off the air. What do you think? Should we let the government start censoring talk shows that are on the talk shows that are on the networks? At what point do we stop? Do we take money away from NPR? How about PBS? Those are all questions that have been talked about, and some have been answered, but we want to talk about that, all of that, when we get back. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire, 605-456-7744. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley does great work. He puts in Dish Satellite. You give him a call at 244-1988. He's out there fast. He guarantees his work, and right now, with the rebates, you can get free TV. That's right, free TV, free HD TV, and like 100 channels. Give them a call, 244-1988.
Currently 7:44 in the morning, and it's 50 degrees. There's going to be 70% chance of showers today. A high of 57. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Before we go into firing off, we wanted to say congratulations. You will be missed. A happy retirement to Maggie John, who was headed up the Shasta Women's Refuge. She became the head of, I guess, president or CEO, or I can't remember what her title is. I'm horrible.
Like director, about 5 years.
Director, thank you. Of the Shasta Women's Refuge in 2005. And she's a wonderful, she and her husband, Ray John, they do so much for the community. And her retirement, thank you for all the service that you've done, and have a wonderful retirement into your next venture.
That's right, you know, and the work that you've done and that Ray does is so much appreciated by the community.
She is recovering from a foot injury, so happy healing.
That's right. One of the things that we want to talk about is we talked about the redistricting. Now I want to talk a little bit about the privatization plan that's going on. The city planners voted yesterday 3-2 to keep the parks maintenance in-house. They recommended that the city council decide against outsourcing grass mowing, leaf blowing, shrub trimming, and other basic maintenance. They had representatives from Shasta Voices, Chamber of Commerce, Shasta Builders Exchange, encouraged the commission to recommend the council seek bids from landscape contractors for basic parks maintenance before deciding for or against it. Well, what's wrong with that? I don't understand, you know, first of all, the study that said this was not going to be worthwhile was made by the park commission itself. So, and I don't understand why we couldn't just put out a request for proposals or RFPs that just says, okay, we can do the job for this much money. And then really look at, I mean, the big job. Right now they're doing part of it. They're doing like $160,000 out of a $1.7 million budget. And you can't really tell that. So, but my question is why we don't do that. And in the article, in the Record Searchlight, it was a good article, that the five commissioners seemed uncomfortable with an analysis by parks planners showing that city crews working with temporary laborers can do basic maintenance tasks at 30% less cost than a private contractor. Well, you know, I'm not sure how you know that. When the commissioner proposed, a group recommend that the council outsource maintenance for the city's 24 pocket parks to get a better idea. The head of the Parks Commission there, Niemeyer, I think it's Kim Niemeyer, saying the city currently does not put work out to bid it cannot fund. Well, if you're not going to be able to put out an RFP, then what's even the purpose of this whole thing? You know, my thought is on this is that why don't you find out how much it's going to cost before you make this decision? I mean, it's the, you know, and then when, or have somebody outside the Parks Commission, and I'm just going by what's in the paper here, the Parks Commission, the ones that did the study, maybe somebody, a third, you know, an outside agency to do this, to look at it. But what harm would it do to have a look at it by getting some of these proposals in? It doesn't cost the city anything to get a proposal in and just to find out so that, you know, perhaps we could save some money. I mean, we've got to look everywhere. You know, we just shut down, or in the process of shutting down, a fire station, you know, on Placer because of money problems. You know, so if there's a way of doing this, if there's a way of saving $250,000, I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but you know what? $250,000 does add up. That's like a policeman or a fireman, or it's something else. So I don't understand the reason behind it. Perhaps we'll get one of the City Planning Commission on here, and they can explain it to us. And, you know, it's one of those things, you only know what you read in the papers. Well, it's not always true. You got to read other things, too. Okay, the other thing, in Anderson, we love Anderson. It looks like John Day and Debbie Hopkins are going to be the new city council people down there. Incumbent Keith Webster came in third. So that's going to start some changes down there. We can see. I'm sure everybody will get along just like ours do in the city council. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, what's happening with that. And here's my favorite.
Harvard president says ROTC welcome once gay ban ends. Somebody needs, I thought that it was, if you're taking government money, you can't just ban the ROTC from your campus. And, gee, you know, ROTC, you know, in Harvard, I mean, what other types of military came out of Harvard? Oh, that's right, Jack Kennedy. Anyway, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Seems like he was a good example of the military. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Thanks.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebaugh, 7:53 in the morning. And this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, head on down there. They've got a they've got these special cigars that you can buy.
Limited.
They're limited. There's
edition.
Only limited edition, and all the money goes to raise funds for those less fortunate. And they're great presents too for those cigar lovers in your family. Plus the fact Espresso Joe's has got all types of holiday coffees and drinks down there. So Tobacco and Brew.
Well, the company is selling those particular cigars, it is a donation, and that donation, the company has built schools and medical facilities, like you said,
right,
for those less fortunate.
La Fuente family.
But they have, like, Jingle Bell Crunch. I just bought some beans I'm going to take to my folks over the holidays.
This is from Tobacco
Brews. Yeah, inside Espresso Joe's, inside of Tobacco Brews, they've got special coffee beans that you can get up 16 ounces for a really, really, it's the best buy in town. Also wanted to tell you about the weather. If you're just tuning in, of course, it's currently 50 degrees. Chance of showers today, so be prepared for that. It's going to be high at 57. We're in for a cold spell. Before we took a break, there was just a commercial. Talk about a commercial with Dr. Trudy Pratt. I just have to share with you that I was on her table yesterday. And, you know, the holidays, there's just, you know, we're triple stacked. We have all these wonderful things that we want to be involved in. But sometimes you just feel like in and out of the car, carrying stuff, just, you know, stressed. On her table in 10 minutes, she just does the magic. I just felt relieved. I felt energy coming back into my neck and my head, my hands. And so anyway, we just think the world of Dr. Trudy Pratt. And she's not
Go really, Trudy.
She also helps with nutrition and counseling with what you're doing, where your body is.
Yeah. She's got a show on Saturdays, and you need to listen, because she's got such great guests, and they talk about such interesting things when it has health and wellness. Hey, let's go to the phones. Roberta, thanks for waiting.
Oh, sure. Good morning.
Morning.
I just thought I learned something interesting, that you can order these burqas and the other religious garb. You can order it on the Internet. So if you were a terrorist and you had evil plans, well, you could just go online and order them, and then nobody would search you.
No, I think they do. I think they still search. I think they can still. I think they still can. Can't
no,
they?
No, I don't believe so. They do not want any incidents, and they just like the guy said, he had the baseball hat on. They make him take it off. But if you have a turban, you don't have to
take
it off.
Well, you know, the thing about it though, in a burqa like that, is they can't be touched by men or something like that. They can have a woman. Cut, you know, they pat them down. So, you know, we go back into what's, you know, I don't think that you, just because you're in a burqa, that you are, that you are not liable for screening. I just don't, I mean,
okay, and then
let's hope not. Let me put it this way, let's hope not.
One of the terrorists, well, I think it was another country, he did escape the country by wearing a burqa and got through security and flew out of the country. So it has happened. Also in Israel, they hire trained people that know what they're looking for, I guess retired police and others. But in our country, this is like a stimulus bill for jobs. Just so you have a lot of jobs, they don't care if you know what you're doing with your 40 hours of training. And so they make no decisions using life's experiences or being taught, you know. They're just, like you're saying, it's random. They can't profile. But we know this is insane.
However, there's talk of the fact that there are 12 cities in the United States that are using private security. And so now the discussion is, can there be private security hired for the airport instead of government-produced TSAs?
Have you also read that Chertoff had a lot to do with selling these expensive equipment to the government?
You know, I'd heard that someplace. I don't know if that's true, though.
And then I heard there's another instrument that used to do a puff of air under, you know, up, and it would sniff for bomb material and stuff that was a lot less expensive and far more effective. So I think that we're being run around the nose like sheep, and we should not give up our constitutional rights. We need to have be searched and seized. You know, we need a court order, a warrant from a judge.
I think for anything that starts infringing on our liberties, we need to make a point about it. We need to make a stink about it. We need to say things, because we can't just go quietly into the night. Otherwise, it's just going to get more and more and more.
And we're not any more safer. What they're doing now is not making us any more safer. It's just a ruse. So, anyway.
Thank you.
Well, gosh, you know, it's Friday. Let's have a good weekend, though.
Thank you, Roberta.
Right.
No,
I am. I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Okay, super.
Thanks,
Christmas
Roberta.
For the troops.
Yeah.
Now, oh, by the way, today, right now, down at the Civic Center, you can drive through and make a donation to the Red Cross for those calling cards for the troops. So head on down there, drop off your extra change, your dollars, and it all goes to buy phone cards for the troops that they send over there.
Then tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 on, down at the Facero Hall is Christmas for the troops. You're going to have the A-team. KCNR has a table, and if you're the first caller at 605-4567, we've got two more seats to sit at our table. We'd love to have you be our guest. That's at 4:30, 5 o'clock on, packaging for the troops.
Dinner,
Christmas for the troops,
music.
It's going to be a wonderful night, and Carl and I will be there with our table and supporting those. So if you're the first caller, 605-4567. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute. We are happy to be part of this community. We love what gives us energy is you, your thoughts, and we love being here for you.
And when we come back, our guest will be John Provo, private investigator. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're listening to KCNR 8.
Fox News Radio.
KCNR Shasta Ready.
It's a
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bot. Good morning. It's November the 19th. It's 8:05. Phone lines here are 605-4567. You can get us streaming at KCNR1460 and chat with us. It's the same place.
Bonnie, you won those two seats to sit with us tomorrow at the Christmas for the Troops at the Facero Hall in Anderson. Starts around 4:30, so you'll be sitting at our table.
Yeah, and also that sound has to do with our next guest, John Provo. Private investigator.
Good morning, Carl. Linda.
Good morning, John. Did we say that right?
Yes.
Provo.
John Provo.
There we go.
Okay, now you're asking yourself, why do we have a private investigator on? I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea at the time. So, John, you are a resident of Reading.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my background is I've worked in law enforcement, retired after 28 years. Used to work for the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, was a detective there, and worked primarily all major crimes, and transferred over to the Department of Justice. Worked cases all over the United States, primarily in narcotic enforcement. Transferred up here in about 1998 to me and my wife to get our three sons out of the Southern California area. And from there, retired in 2006 and opened up a private investigation business.
Wow. You know, we hear about, you know, private investigators. We've never had a private investigator on our show. And can you give us, like, an example of a typical day and calls that come in for your services?
Well, the typical type of calls that we get vary from missing persons to assist for attorneys in working criminal cases, following up, doing interviews, to asset searches, to assist from the general public, where they may be thinking that they're being defrauded by employees, and we do looking into that. They may be a little reluctant for whatever reason to contact law enforcement initially, want to determine if there's anything actually going on, and we can come in and we can take a look at the books, or we can provide experts that are in computer forensics and take a look at those issues and give them a determination as to whether there is something that should be referred to law enforcement.
Well, excellent.
So you're, I just wanted to describe John. He's 6'4". He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He's got wearing tennis shoes, and he drives a Ferrari. So it's the you know, one of the things about you know, everybody, you know, gosh, it's been a staple of TV for so many years. The private investigator, you know, they get into so many of these cases. You get into shootouts, and you know, you're, you know, beautiful women throwing themselves at you, John.
That's right.
So how have you managed to maintain?
Well,
and how much of that's true?
None of it is true. Very little of it is true. It's usually a daily grind of helping people, working on cases. And very similar to law enforcement, except private investigator's focus is working with the clients and coming to a resolution for them. You know, private investigators have been around since 1850 when the Pinkertons started working for railroads and businesses in the West and throughout the United States. And from there, private investigators have been on the front line providing those investigative services to businesses and to private individuals.
Okay, look, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's going to be, how do you get to be a private investigator? What kind of, do you, should I start, like, growing a mustache? And what kind of disguises do you have? You know, all these things. I know it sounds a little facetious, but being a private investigator, I can't help but think that most every, you know, red-blooded American male at some point growing up has thought, private investigator, oh, yeah, that's the way to go. Because that's like right next to being a secret agent.
An astronaut.
Exactly.
At some point in your life, usually these people outgrow it, Bad Bob hasn't. Carlin and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Good, Bob. Good. I like that, you know. Pink Panther. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Calling Linda Bott, 8:13 in the morning, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off of Airport Road. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. Local guy, veteran of the 82nd Airborne, 244-1988. Right now, he has rebates that will give you free HD TV and hundreds of channels in time for Christmas, time for the holidays, and he'll get them up now. 244-1988. Our guest is John Prevost, private investigator. And when we left, we always have a lot of discussions during the break time here. But how does one become a private investigator? I mean, is this something I can just, you know, I can go to one of these diploma mills that I see in the back of a magazine that says become a private investigator?
No, that's not the way it works. All private investigators have to have at least 6,000 hours of investigative experience. That can be through military service, investigative services, prior law enforcement experience, and those hours have to be certified through an application process through the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services through California. And they license you. You take a test, and if you pass the test and a background and you meet the qualifications for investigative experience, then they issue you a private investigation license. And then from there, you obtain insurance and open up your business.
So you're saying is in the police, you're keeping us guys out there that are just ready to be private investigators off out of the jobs. You all are taking them for yourselves. You make us have like that.
It's
you
pretty
make
tough.
Us have like experience.
That's right. It's pretty tough.
Well, I tell you what.
We are talking with John Prevost right now, who is a private investigator. We have emails coming in, chat questions, and we are also taking your calls. If you have a question for this PI, please do 605-4567. A question that came in the chat room, whether you do this kind of work or you know, the work of polygraph and voice stress.
Yes.
That's a specialty.
That is a specialty, and there are individuals in this area, in Northern California, that specialize in that. And if you give me a call, I can refer you to those specialists.
How would someone reach you?
Oh, you can reach me. You can Google me anywhere in the world, John Prevost or WestscottInvestigations.com.
Now, let's spell your last name. It is French.
Yes, it is. Proveaux.
Okay. That's like, yes.
In the news right now. Mm-hmm. And is this young girl, is the 15-year-old that is missing right now.
Yes.
It appears that she left on her own with, it just appears that way, with her uncle, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, it was on CNN's Nancy Grace last night. It's, you know, there's why wasn't it on Amber Alert? That's going, you know, that's a big question that our sheriff tried to get it on there, and somehow the California Highway Patrol didn't do it. But the question is what are things that can be done? What's being done that you believe right now to help find this young lady?
Well, I don't know anything about the investigation other than what I read in the newspaper, and I know that the Sheriff's Department is giving 100% in locating Jean. The issue comes up about how could an investigator, private investigator, helped in that case. And a lot of times we rely upon government agencies to help in all aspects of our life. There are professionals out there that can help and that are very responsive within the first few hours. And I know that the Sheriff's Department was on this right away. But one thing that a private investigator could do in similar type cases would be to go out and interview individuals through our contacts that we have throughout California and Southern California, interview relatives, and in those first critical hours, 24 hours, finding out whether someone has made contact with relatives and following up on those locations. And then, of course, anything that a private investigator would come across, they would immediately turn it over to the investigating agency.
Okay. And I understand that, and that you are not, you know, the only thing you're seeing is what you read in the paper. But what, I mean, from your background as an investigator, but also in the police, what are they doing right now? And I know there's all points bulletins throughout the United States. They're putting out all types of searches for them. But just some of the things, I mean, here's a car. They've got the license plate of it. Is this sent to every town in America?
There's computer systems that the law enforcement has that vehicle license plate and any other information. There's a warrant out for the suspect's arrest, I believe $100,000 for concealing a child, and that goes nationwide. And so if he comes in contact with law enforcement and they check his name or they check the license plate of the vehicle they were last seen in, those officers can take immediate action and secure that girl's safety.
Okay.
I have a question for you. Earlier in the program, we were talking about two-way mirrors.
Yes, and video in changing rooms.
Yes.
Illegal. That doesn't happen. If it is illegal.
Well, okay, not videos, but how about when they say surveillance cameras? Create a rumor.
Urban myth.
Yes. Was that back, let's say, in the 80s, before 9/11, when you would go into, like, say, Sears, into a changing room, especially, in the intimate apparel, where you it would be anything, actually. Are there two-way mirrors?
No, there's not. Now, in some private establishments, there may be, but in large chain establishment, Macy's, JCPenney's, absolutely, there's no two-way mirrors. And you can video individuals coming to and from the changing room, and that's where security is most appropriate. You can see someone carrying in a large load of clothes, and they look 120 pounds or something like that, and then when they exit, they wear clothes underneath their clothes, and they look another 20 or 30 pounds heavier, and then the security of the store can go in.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You clarified that, because I always thought, oh, boy, part of the deal.
Well, we use video a lot during surveillances, but we're very limited on what you can videotape individuals.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break. We have Jim Nielsen is on the line. We're going to talk to Jim right after we take the break, and then we'll come on back to John then. All Carl right. Lindebach, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We have a special guest on.
And we also have the phones playing off the hook.
Yeah.
The chat's open. We love this Friday.
Yeah, there you go. Jim Nielsen.
Yes, let's go to the phones. Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I want to just call and wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jim.
Remember that, what we have to be thankful for.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim. Hey, we just see where the first people were pulled in the lottery to redistrict. To start redistricting.
That's going to be a big challenge. I know one of the individuals. It's kind of bothered me a little bit that there didn't seem to be a strong enough representation of individuals from the far north to suit me, meaning the North Valley, not the coast.
Right.
But I do know one of the members from the Esparto area. I think he'll be a very fair-minded individual. The important thing is that the people have decided, rightly so, that the legislature ought not do the redistricting, and I think that this will be a more fair one. At the least, I expect that there will be fewer divided counties. I have two, Butte and Yolo. I think there will be fewer divided counties this time.
Well, I think that's, you know, and I think it's having the people do it. Yeah, I know that there's going to be a lot of pressure on those people, and I would like to see, you know, it would have been nice if like six of them had come from like right around here in the North State, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, but they have guidelines they have to go by. And in the past, when the legislature was not doing the redistricting, meaning the courts did it, they have been more fair. And I have been through one of those court redistrictings, and to my delight, it gave me all these wonderful Upper Valley counties. I had Yolo, but this gave me all the way up to Shasta back in the 80s. So that one turned out very well, I think, and not... It's not about Jim Nielsen, it's about the community of interest of the citizens.
Yeah.
That district then included Napa and Sonoma counties, lovely places, but very, very different. And it was really, really hard to represent those two very different areas, Napa, Sonoma, and then the Great Valley.
Right. What's new, Jim? What's coming up?
Well, there will be a special session, which won't be a special session. The governor has rightly called one because of the $6 billion shortfall in expected returns and revenues, and goodness sakes, you couldn't possibly have realized it because the bloody budget was three doggone months late. It's so late you could have realized the savings that you build in. But I don't think that anything will happen. The Democrats will not be motivated to effect any cuts, and particularly with their ability to pass a budget on a majority. I think they'll wait it out and in January see what kind of budget Jerry Brown puts into effect. And then their subcommittees will begin to meet, and I believe that most of the $40 billion that has been cut from the budget the last 2 years will be very quickly restored with automatic cost of living increases on top of it.
Well, okay. I guess, you know, after the elections, it's going to be, with everything that was said and done, is it, you know, I've read someplace that... all of the power, all of everything, is going to be residing in the Democratic Party.
No, I don't agree with that. We've just recently got a now-published Third District Court of Appeal decision that affirms that there's got to be a two-thirds vote for increase in taxes.
Okay.
The people did pass Prop 26, and, you know, it's been suggested Republicans just sit back now and let the Democrats own it. That's utterly irresponsible. For Republicans, that's being lemmings, not leaders. You're not elected to be lemmings. You're elected to step up to the plate and represent the people. And that means you need to work. You work with that majority when you can, and you fight him when you can. And I think that the Republicans still have a number of opportunities, and I have certainly become steeped in what those possibilities are. I was spending a lot of hours yesterday going through some of the opportunities that we still have to participate in the governance of this state and to fashion a responsible budget. And I believe Governor Brown is going to be disposed to do that, too.
You know what? That's a. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, sometimes when you see the results of elections, you think, you know, okay, what's going to happen now? Well, it sounds like you all are going to keep up the good fight and try and have things happen that are right for all of us.
Well, that's what the job is. I've been meeting, in fact, last Monday, a week ago Monday, with the Democratic and Republican new members, as both Vice Chairman of the Budget and Appropriations Committees. They wanted me to come and be a part of the training. And, you know, the first thing I talked about was not the Appropriations Committee or the Budget. It's how you treat each other, respect for each other and the institution, and the rules of the institution. And I see a lot of bright, shiny faces with a lot of naivete about what they can accomplish. They'll have to be brought into reality very shortly about it.
Yeah.
But they are sincere people, and I'm hopeful that they get the message that we do need to work together wherever we can. And when we have to fight over things like tax increases, well, we'll do it respectfully.
Okay. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for calling.
And happy holidays to
happy
you and your
holidays.
Family.
Happy
holidays.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
You bet.
Always thinking of you good people. Have a great day.
Thanks
you
a lot,
too.
Jim.
You too.
One of the chats came in and said, why do we push pause when we have a politician come in?
Well, we're in the middle of an interesting interview.
And it is interesting, but we've got John for the rest of the hour. I'm sorry, we've got we've got John. I've got to see another John. We've got John for the rest of the hour, and I just wanted to get an update, let everybody have an update, because there is going to be a big swing. You know, what's our representative think about what's going to happen? It was pretty positive. I'm glad that Nielsen has that kind of positive outlook, that we can work here and we're going to continue to try to take
a
lead.
Got to have a positive outlook.
You have to. Hey, John, when we get back, we've got a couple people on the line, so people hang on. We've got about 90 seconds here. Now, can somebody come to work for you that doesn't have 8,000 hours of investigative experience?
That's how a lot of new private investigators may get started. They work for an agency, and the requirement still is that they have to have 6,000 hours. So that's about 3 years working directly under a private investigator, and then he would sign off on the hours through BSIS.
Okay, and when we come back, we've got John on the line. We're going to talk about that. We've got some questions from the chat room, but also you've got some concerns that people are being duped by those who say they are competent, licensed investigators. But we're going to talk about that, too, when we get back. Just to remind everybody that you can drive by the Civic Auditorium right now and donate to the Red Cross for phone cards for our troops. I bet they're still taking some stuff for the Christmas for the troops and those packages. I know people were still bringing lots of stuff in yesterday. When I say stuff, all types of items there for our troops.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, 834, and we are into our private investigating stage here on the show.
Back when theme songs were great and the actors, the real actors, like men, manly men.
Quick, what show was that?
Menix.
They had hair, they had eyebrows, they weren't waxed.
Speaking of haircuts, Cypress Square Barbershop off of Athens Avenue. You want a haircut? There you go. You go down and you see DC Tim. You go see the man in black there. You go down and get a haircut. Great prices, great haircuts. If you're a veteran, you get a discount. That's right. It's man's last stronghold. Let me tell you, you go in there, you sit down, you can read those great magazines. Guns and Ammo, Car and Track, National Geographic, all those things. And you get there and you get to watch on the TV. Great shows like stock car racing and baseball. That's it. Man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. I put tongue in cheek there, but great guys down there. They give great haircuts, and they give discounts to veterans.
Currently 50 degrees. It's cloudy. There's going to be chance of showers today. High of 57. Weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Want to do a shout-out to Chris, who comes and delivers our water from Mount Shasta Water, and he always does a great job. He's really Johnny on the spot. Really good with that. So how about we go to the phones? John.
John, you've only been waiting for 46 minutes.
At least that.
Are you awake?
And you know what? I just want to say something about the Cypress Square Barbershop there.
Yeah.
They use razors.
Oh, yeah.
And that is one of the most unusual, anymore.
It is.
That's a very unusual thing.
They shave around your ears, down your neck.
Yeah.
And they don't
touch
you either.
Yeah, straight razor.
Ooh.
Listen, good morning, Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and, of course, your special guest, John Prevost.
Thank you.
I have a piece of information for Linda to begin with. In one of my past lives, I worked with a guy who had a mirror and glazing business. And he taught me how to simply tell a two-way mirror from a one-way mirror. And the way you do that is you take a ballpoint pen and stick it on the glass. If you can see the end of the pen, it's a simple one-way mirror. If you can't see the end of the pen, the tip, then it's two-way because the glass is coated on the outside. There's no distance between the two.
So, so explain to me, when you see the tip of the ballpoint pen, does that mean it's an inch or 2 inches away, or does that mean you can't see it at all?
It's about a quarter inch away, and you can get the reflection of it. That means it's a single-way mirror. There's nobody looking through at you.
Okay, well, I'm not alone, because Tammy, our gal here at
Sales Director,
she came in and she said, oh, yeah, I know how to do a two-way mirror. So we've been kind of like schooled in two-way mirrors. Don't ask me why, but...
Well, if you take that pen and touch it to the end of it, and, you know, to the glass, and you see the tip of the pen in the reflection, it's safe.
Okay.
If you can't see the tip of the pen, it's a two-way mirror.
Something else you have learned here on Free Fire Radio.
John, do you think there's a lot of two-way mirrors around?
No,
not for... I have no clue. I've checked a few, like when I'm in hotels and stuff like that, just to see. And they've always been clear for me. I mean, I've always seen the end of the pen, so I know it was okay.
Right,
maybe they put you in those rooms, John, for a reason.
Well, hey, there you go.
Do you have a guest? Thank you, John, but do you have a question for our guest, John?
Yes, I do. John?
Yes.
You know, PIs are always portrayed as either having a really good rapport with law enforcement or being demeaned by law enforcement as being wannabes. I'm sure if you're a past member of law enforcement, you get better cooperation. However, still, isn't there a point where they just shut you down and kind of back you out of the investigation?
Well, I've never run into that situation, although law enforcement has a specific job to do, and, you know, they represent the people and in their investigations. And, you know, there is some tension, and we have different jobs. Private investigators primarily focus on the client's needs and, you know, the outcome that they're looking and the information that they're looking for.
One last part about this I'd like to ask you, and this is, it seems to me that you border on, when you get into these situations, violations of people's privacy. I mean, private detective, duh. But how do you avoid privacy issues and winding up in court yourself defending your actions?
Never been sued yet, and there are a lot of privacy concerns, a lot of issues that come straight from our Constitution that we have to deal with, and being prior law enforcement, we deal with those, and we don't cross the line. All of the investigators in Northern California that I'm aware of, they operate strictly within certain guidelines. We meet regularly at association meetings for the California Association of Licensed Investigators. We talk about issues. We have professionals come in and remind us. We attend classes to update our skills. And all of us, for the most part, are completely aware of the privacy issues involved. And we stay within the law.
Hey, John, just because you run around putting those little detector things on people's cars and those you drop off those little cameras in, you know, in rooms so that you can keep track of things, doesn't mean everybody does.
Carl, you're pulling my cover.
No.
What's up with that?
No.
That's right. You know what?
One last thing I want to ask John, if I could.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you ever investigate fraud by businesses or charities or things like that?
We do, and if it gets to where we need forensic accounting or forensic computer work, we have associates that we deal with that we contract out, and they can look at the books, or we can do interviews, depending on what the circumstances require.
Excellent. I'll be anxious to talk to you sometime soon.
Okay. Hey, John, thanks
have
for the phone
day.
Call. We've got to take a break. Charles, you'll be up next as soon as we get back from our break. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is John Prevost, private investigator. Dun, 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 dun.
Sharon Acker.
Okay, this is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 Cannon, another blast from the past. Here it is, 8:43 on Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. You know, Tobacco and Brew is got the finest walk-in humidor. It's a great time to be buying that Christmas coffee and all the stuff from Espresso Joe's. They have coffee makers. They have French presses. They have all of these things to make coffee, and not just saying anything that you would ever want in tobacco products, but
Jingle Bell Crunch.
That's right. And you know, Joe and Shelley do a great job of supporting our community. A lot of the stuff that went into the packages to our troops.
That's going out tomorrow.
It was donated by Tobacco and Brew. They put together all types of great little gift bags for our troops, and we can't say thank you enough to those. Okay, hey, let's go to the phones here. Charles, you have a question. Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, before I begin with my question, private investigators in pop culture didn't just drive Ferraris. Some of them had action-packed expense accounts, such as the guy featured in that old radio show, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, remember? And then there was another show called Philip Diamond, Private Detective.
And I remember the Philip Diamond one, you know. And then there was Sam Spade and the Maltese Falcon, and you know all those.
Austin Blackie
had all of those in there, and you know the Phantom, and oh no, the Phantom wasn't.
Wasn't
one.
Sherlock Holmes also a private?
He was Sherlock Holmes. That's right.
John is just smiling from ear to ear.
Charles is going for it today.
Now to the question.
Okay.
Yeah. There was something in a matter investigated just before the election, and the analysis of it, or at least the publicly available portion of it, was posted, and I responded, you know, wrote an email giving, you know,
you're talking about the union thing, right?
Right, and okay. of what I thought about, you know, where things went wrong and so forth, and I'd like to get John's thoughts on that.
Okay, Charles, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, so John, what he's talking about is when they had an investigator check the union out. What did you think of the investigation? Boy, doesn't that throw you into the hot water there?
It sure does, and all I know about the investigation is what I read in the newspaper. And by law, or by through state of California regulations, PIs are not allowed to discuss the contents of their investigations or their clients. And so... all I knew is what was in the newspaper.
Okay. And good questions come from our listeners, and so you can only answer, like you said, you have your guidelines of how you can, if you've been involved, you know what I mean. So at the break, we were talking about methamphetamine, and that during the O.J. Simpson case, you had gone out and were... teaching people from businesses about the usage of methamphetamine. You care to share that?
Well, prior to retiring from the Department of Justice, I was doing presentations throughout California to groups and law enforcement agencies and schools. In fact, we, with the Department of Justice and Chemical People, a local organization, we established the drug store, which taught 7th and 8th graders. We brought them down to the convention center. Over 3 or 4 years, we took in 10,000 kids and taught them about the dangers of methamphetamine, starting from street level all the way to a presentation that showed what could happen with an overdose through scenes that were portrayed by the local hospitals. And I've continued doing that free to local businesses. I still do that on a contract basis in areas outside California. But for Shasta County businesses and residents, I provide presentations for free of charge and come out and teach their employees or business owners about what to look for, people under the influence, and how it may affect their business, that type of thing.
Okay, well, you had mentioned something about the O.J. Simpson case. Was it at that time frame? I mean, why did that come into the conversation?
I, to tell you the truth, I don't remember how that actually came in.
Okay. All right. At the break, we were talking about, I thought maybe it was during the time frame and the fact that there were some narcotics involved, and maybe it was just that time frame of really,
I think it was just during that.
Okay. Yeah. And so, but this is really important information, and the fact that you do that gratis is really great.
You know, the one of the things that we were talking about is how people will hire private investigators that are not licensed, and this can have a severe impact on the case they're interested in, or how the case is conducted, or even their business. Is this true?
Exactly. There's a lot of individuals that advertise through Craigslist, through the newspaper, although locally the newspaper pretty well screens individuals who are advertising there. But Craigslist is a big violator. There's individuals that will advertise private investigative services or forensics, and they're not licensed by the state of California. That causes a big problem for businesses down the road, civil suits, and just getting your money's worth from what they may provide, or what, most importantly, what they may not provide.
Okay.
Question out of the chat room, and then we're going to have to take a break, but I'd like to close this segment. If one of John's investigations turns up criminal activity, do you assist the local DA in preparing a case for indictment?
Actually, we don't assist the DA. All of our information would go to the agency that would be responsible for gathering that information. We're required by law, if we uncover any evidence, that it immediately goes to the investigating agency, and then they're responsible for turning it over to the district attorney's office. In some cases, we can go and submit information to the DA, but usually it's in a supportive role.
Okay. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here before we go into our last segment. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is John Prevost, private investigator.
Down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Debott, our last segment here. Gosh, you know what? We didn't get to half the things we were going to talk about today, but we've had a great time here with John Prevost, our private investigator guest, and there's all types of questions coming in. There's all types of things happening. The one thing is that how much time do you spend in your job following people?
Probably about 50% of my time, maybe 45, something like that, percent of my time is involved in conducting surveillance on individuals.
Now, is this husband, wives, much as my fiance? Or
drugs?
I don't like to get involved too much in those types of cases, but there are investigators that do. A lot of times workers' comp cases, insurance cases. And it used to be in law enforcement, we would have a team of 4 and 5 individuals and possibly a helicopter to go out and follow someone. As a private investigator, you have to relearn those techniques and do it individually with one individual, maybe two if you're lucky, and it's very, very difficult, especially trying to take video. So we have special vehicles that are set up with video cameras in surveillance vans, and we get the job done.
Well, you know, and just to let everybody know is that when John was coming on the show, I said, "Well, John, show me what you're doing." So he followed Bad Bob for 3 days, and all that videotape is going to be on our site, KCNR. And you know what? It is hilarious, especially the part in the raccoon suit. Okay.
But one of the emails that or chats that have come in is about, you know, you've just stated that you don't really do a lot of domestic cases. In California court, it'd be interesting to talk about that, because it doesn't really matter about infidelity when it comes down to divorce.
That's right.
The bottom line is a buck. Bottom line is your assets, your assets. If you had 5 affairs, but for the spouse who's looking to just catch that other person, I'm sure that is why you would hire a PI, although that's not your work. But I think that in the case of infidelity in the states of California, it's not bearing on.
It doesn't bear on the issues.
Yeah.
However, what does come up a lot, and several cases that I do work and am currently working on now, are grandparents and relatives involving child custody. A lot of times, two individuals will divorce, and one or both are involved in illegal drugs, either selling or using, and they're putting the kids in jeopardy. The grandparents would like to terminate the parents' parental rights, or at least have the kids in their custody temporarily while the parents are recovering. And that needs evidence,
I think
investigators do that.
Wonderful. It's probably very rewarding because the kids should not be involved in a situation.
Protecting the innocent.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about Natalie Holloway. That's been so on everyone's lips as far as, like, headlines and the fact that they have found a jawbone. Could you enlighten us about that?
Very fascinating. You know, I don't have any inside information, but it is very fascinating. I know they're going through DNA testing right now on the jawbone and also dental work. I think there was one tooth found in the jaw. And it's going to be very fascinating where it turns up where where those bones were located or that jawbone was located at. Maybe Miss Holloway will be able to find the rest of the remains of her daughter. And that's very exciting.
You know, that brings a lot of closure. And of course, we're talking about the young lady that disappeared years ago on a school trip down to Aruba. And the man that is the prime suspect in it was just arrested down, I think, in Peru for killing another young woman.
Yes.
Is it in jail there? So
I hope the school trip. I think it was like spring vacation. That's not like it wasn't the school went, right?
I'm not sure.
Spring break.
I'm not sure on that, but, you know, it's been so long. But the bottom line is that she ends up disappearing, and nothing was able to be done about it. So hopefully that this, you know, I mean, you hate to see something like this happen, but maybe it would bring closure to the
family. He's going to be in prison for the death of that other young lady, but it would be good for the Holloways to find out the end result of Natalie.
Well, you know, you never know what happens on a show when you invite somebody on. You know, some of them you think, well, okay, you know, this is a half hour, this is 15 minutes. Some of you think it's an hour, and it's really a five-minute, you know, segment. But with you, John, this is, we've had a good time, a lot of questions, a lot of things from the people. I'm sure there's more things we can talk about, but the last question that comes in is how much of the job depends on a good understanding of human nature?
Oh, that's everything. For individuals that would like to become a PI, that's the bottom line. You have to understand people, you have to be able to talk with people, and you have to understand what makes people tick and their motivations for the activities that they'll do. That helps you in interviews, and that helps you in surveillance. That helps you in everything. So understanding people is the first thing that you need to be good at.
Well, thank you, John. One other question before we go. DNA. Usually, typically, how long does it take to really discover?
Depending on the priority, DNA testing, usually a couple of weeks. It can be quicker depending on the technique that they use.
Okay. Well, okay, we're down to our last minute here. Just remember, you can drop by the Civic Center today and give a donation for phone cards for the troops. Tomorrow, Christmas packaging for the troops. Linda has a show at Mount Shasta Mall. What time is that, honey?
At 2 o'clock, and tonight we're out at Anselmo's from 6 to 9 doing music. And tomorrow night is Christmas Tree Fantasy.
That's right. Join us tonight. We're going to have a great time out there. And tomorrow at Mount Shasta Mall and all these places, we're going to be there. So, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.